Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
The Bugle presents The Last Post with Alice Fraser.
Hello, posters, and welcome to The Last Post, the final word in this, the most final of worlds. Today's episode marks Monday, the 3rd of August, 2020. Holy shit, this year is going fast, despite being outrageously overpacked with eventful events like an exploding suitcase on the carousel of human history. Ah, the carousel. Remember planes? Luggage carousels? Wasn't that a fun time? Partly, of course, to me, August always feels like the end of the year because I mix August up with October. I have monthular dyslexia. March and May, October, August, June, July. That's a fact. Expect me to fail to properly schedule or keep any appointments in those periods, or in fact, any other periods. And the first week of August, as always, marks more or less the beginning of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival every year, though of course now, with social distancing, all fringe acts will perform their full month of shows suspended in hot air balloons over their city of origin, beaming the performances via laser beam to a large central crystal installed at the top of Arthur's Seat. The combined artistic energy is expected either to be stored in a cavern beneath the earth until summoned by an awards ceremony, or to explode in a more than nuclear level catastrophe, depending on the quality of the acts. Your guest today is a fan favourite, just back from living in a skip for his role hosting reality TV garbage dump fashion design show Trash and Fashion. It's celebrity Andrew Zaltzman. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, Alice. It's great to be back on, and it would have been nice to have had time in between the recording schedule and this to have had a bath or a shower, but it's audio, so the trash can perfume is for me to enjoy and no one else.
Well, I can smell you through the internet, Andrew. Coming up today, our top story, brought to you by Andrew Zaltzman, is quarantine babies news. But first, some headlines of stories we won't have time for. In the news today, the president of the UFC has just returned from Abu Dhabi, where his much-discussed Fight Island project has just finished its first successful launch. To satisfy public health guidelines with the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, the Department of Culture and Tourism for Abu Dhabi sealed off the near 10-square-mile island, which included the arena, hotel, training facilities and dining establishments. They plan next month to release the gladiators into the wild, each with only his murderous hands and razor-sharp wit, and will film the island until only one man is left standing. Some classic UFC fighting there. Are you a big UFC fan, Andrew?
Well, not really. I prefer PFC, penultimate fighting championship, which is just slightly less violent. And interestingly, Fight Island was the original British name for Australia.
And in internet news, a new problematic product is sweeping the front pages, composting nanobots from the people who accidentally brought you Bob the Sentient Trash Island. These mobile mini munching services provide a cupful of composting nanobots to your home, and if and when your composting nanobots get out of control, Nanobot Munching Nanobot Services offers you solutions to your nanobot problem. Critics of the product say that it's solving the problem it creates.
Right. Interestingly, when I was a kid, composting Nana was how we referred to my late great-grandmother.
That's all the time we have with headlines that we don't have time for, because now it's time for your ads. Your ad section now, because you are what you do, and the best thing to do is buy. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by milk. Milk, high in protein and minerals, only disgusting if you think about it. Milk. And whether it's cereal or coffee, if you've spent too much time thinking about milk and aren't a filthy millennial willing to squeeze an almond, try adding half a glass of water. Half a glass of water is a substitute for the equivalent amount of milk, or if you're making an oat milk, you also need water for that. Half a glass of water. It's not milk.
I've never found the udder on an almond.
And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Bachelor Octopus Edition. One Octoman, 18 Octowomen, three pools of sperm and a detachable arm. Who will be the lucky lady who gets to slowly starve to death while fanning his eggs? Coming soon to Tentacle Time. And that's your ad section for today.
The Last Post.
Now it's time for your top story. Top story today is quarantine babies news. Andrew Zaltzman, you are an expert on quarantine babies. Tell us what's happening in that world right now.
Well, it's a bit early to say, to be honest, Alice, because of coronavirus, the average human gestation period has increased from 9 months to 16 months as humanity evolves to the new reality. It's the type of speedvolution that we've seen in society. as well, and it's unclear yet whether, I mean, this is just an innate human response to protect ourselves from threats, but evidently babies have realised that the world as it currently stands is simply not worth coming into. And of the babies that have been born during quarantine, there's been a big problem that many of them have been unable to tell the difference between being in the womb and being in lockdown, and have therefore not adjusted to actually having been born. This has made it very difficult for parents, understandably, particularly when it comes to feeding their babies. And these lockdown quarantine babies have insisted on being fed through their tummy buttons because that's what they're used to, and they haven't noticed that actually they have been through the change. So
the change?
It's,
the baby menopause?
Well, that's essentially what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, really, a menopause is that not a second birth? No, it isn't. But the point is, I mean, you can't dispute, Alice, that moving from in a womb to out of a womb is a significant life change. You can't deny that.
No, I cannot deny that.
However trendy and millennial you are, that's a fact.
That is a fact. I've always thought of menopause as the hangover of coming off decades of lady drugs, a.k.a. hormones.
Right.
All of those hormones that tell you for years and years and years to be quite nice suddenly disappear and you're like, wait a minute, why did I put up with all that shit?
Other interesting science coming out from lockdown child rearing and birth, that according to the International Institute of Religions, the probability of a Messiah child being born in lockdown is 73% higher than in normal circumstances. So It's interesting. We've often seen in history messiahs or alleged messiahs being born at times of social strife, and it appears that we could be on for another or a first messiah, according to preference.
Well, if my eating habits during lockdown have anything to say about it, during lockdown, every bed's a manger.
I'm sure that was a Johnny Cash song, wasn't it? There's also an issue with the sex of babies that are being born, because all the normal structures for determining the sex of a fetus have gone out the window because time has been so vague and homogenous during lockdown, and the days have mulched into each other. So the normal process that we've always relied on, that babies conceived on Monday to Wednesday are born male and Thursday to Saturday female, no longer applies, because weekdays don't mean shit anymore. Sundays remain God's choice, of course. So these are different times for fetuses, for post fetuses or babies, as they're often known. and there's been a lot of research into how, you know, COVID conceived fetuses. And there are reports that that some couples have managed to set aside the absolute dismal gloom of the world to attempt copulatory activities even during lockdown. But COVID-conceived fetuses kick less in the womb than fetuses from the before times, suggesting once again that they're less keen to emerge into the squabbling, twitching, grumble world that awaits them. Interestingly also that men who have suffered from COVID but are recovering and are celibate are getting pregnant. And the virus, one of the side effects of the virus, and we're still learning a lot about it, is that it seems to have reactivated the evolutionarily dormant male womb, which disappeared quite early on in human evolution. But the problem is, these COVID-recovering celibate men are giving birth to lambs. And, I mean, no one knows quite how to interpret this other than through biblical analogies. And nuns are feeling on average 13% more pregnant than normal. Again, read into that what you will. Of course, Alice, there's great concern about the birth rate. That's one of the great, you know, kind of global issues that we've not really addressed is population demographics and the concern about the falling birth rate due to the extended gestation period of COVID and people feeling simply less horny. And a government scheme in Britain has inputted the dating details of every single person in Britain. They put them in a database. They've worked out who, had lockdown not happened, would have Tindered up with whom. They've let them know how many sexual congressions they would have had, for those who like to keep their own copulatory stats. And further to that, they've worked out who would then probably have become involved in long-term relationships resulting in PUIs, that's procreative uterinal issuances, or children in old parlance. And then these couples have been issued with a legal summons to go to a recommissioned secret government facility at Porton Down and breed. So hopefully that will keep the birth rate at some kind of sustainable level.
Fingers and legs crossed. That's all the time we have for your top story today, because now it's time for your letters to the editor. Your letters to the editor now. And remember, you can send a letter to the editor by writing to us at thelastpost@somethingelse.com. This letter in from Isabel. It says, "Dear Alice and guest," that's you today, Andrew.
Hello.
"Is good luck to you, Christopher, more or less threatening than f*** you, Chris? I do not know why you would ask that question. We've never sworn at Chris. He is a noble man,
yes.
Loved by all, including his many, many, many lovers.
Yep.
And all we can do is wish him luck. So I'm sorry, Isabel, this is an incredibly stupid letter, and I would think twice about sending another one. That said, if you want to send a letter to the editor, write in to us at thelastpost@somethingelse.com. Thank you for listening to The Last Post today. We're here in your ears 366 days of this year, and we'll be back tomorrow with all the latest news in this dimension. Subscribe to get a new version of this podcast every day. Your guest today on the podcast was Mr. Andrew Zaltzman. Andy, have you got anything to plug?
Yeah, there's a new app that I'm a brand ambassador for, which is called Why Are To Do, which stands for What Am I Allowed To Do? And it's a government guideline clarifying app. So it inputs all the multifarious government guidelines that are issued on an almost minute-by-minute basis from the government wherever you live, and it condenses them into 5 simple bullet points for you to obey. And you can set a level of how much personal change and inconvenience you're actually willing to tolerate, and it issues you with 5 guidelines to keep things simple. And yeah, so basically, if you don't want to make any changes, it can tell you that that's fine. So it's really the app we've all been waiting for throughout lockdown.
I'm looking forward to downloading it on my non-brand specific telephonic device. The Last Post is an Alice Fraser and Bugle Podcasts production. If you enjoyed today's show, go back and listen to previous shows. Tell your friends about the show or advertise us to your social networks. Your listenership is the metric we use to sell advertising space, so you'd better pull your weight in this equation. I'm Alice Fraser. Find me online at @alliterative on Twitter and Instagram. That's @alliterative, or commit to the full Alice Fraser experience by signing up on patreon.com/AliceFraser for a behind-the-scenes look at my glamorous life. The executive producer of this podcast is Christopher D. Skinner. His adoring and bedazzled subordinate producers are Harriet Wells and Ped Hunter. As they and we always say, good luck to you, Christopher, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.